Valley and heading into New York. Cold sector already seeing some snow, and we are going to see copious amounts of rain, too. Brings in the wet weather for the parade, and temperature profile perfect for heavy wet snow that could lead to widespread power outages in parts of New England.
CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve has advice if you're traveling.
You're in an area where there's going to be inclement weather. Factor that into your drive, when you drive, and the way and how much time you allot for that travel. Certainly, we're watching what this lake effect snow does on the backside of the holiday here and how that may impact people's ability to get around. But for tomorrow, it's a relatively low volume travel day. Check the forecast. Leave yourself some extra time.
The TSA expects to have screened 2.9 million airline passengers before the day ends. Sunday should be even busier, with 3 million people screened as they head back home. The FBI is investigating bomb threats and swatting incidents targeting some of President-elect Donald Trump's administration nominees. More from CBS News political reporter Libby Caffey.
These threats are going across state lines. The FBI is working with law enforcement in multiple states, Oregon, Texas, New York, right here in Florida, because a lot of these threats were targeted at the homes of these individuals.
Among the targets were Trump's choice for Attorney General, Pam Bondi, his pick for Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, and New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Trump's pick to serve as ambassador to the UN. The 17 huge helium balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade are inflated and ready to go tomorrow. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says security will be tight.
I really want to take the moment to tell those Grinches that believe they're going to disrupt the parade, it's not going to happen.
There are six new balloons this year, including Minnie Mouse, a new Spider-Man, and Goku from Dragon Ball. Sean Diddy Combs has been denied bail. Again.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. Sean Diddy Combs has been denied bail for a third time as he awaits his sex trafficking trial in May. The judge's decision follows a bail hearing last week. Combs' attorneys said then that a $50 million bail package they proposed would be sufficient to ensure he does not flee and does not try to sway witnesses. So the 55-year-old will remain inside the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn.
Combs has pleaded not guilty to sex abuse charges lodged against him when he was arrested in December. Rough day on Wall Street ahead of the holiday tomorrow. The Dow is down 138 points. The Nasdaq dropped 115. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day, in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami, so how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yeah, here at Native Roots Radio, we are always excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count and host a conversation focused on early childhood development. And that's really good timing for us here because we just had our little grandbabies here. Wendy and I watch our grandchildren every Wednesday and Thursday, and we are really happy to work with Little Moments Count, Haley.
Yes, absolutely. We're, you know, honored to bring on guests monthly to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities.
Hey, we have our friend Barb Fabre, and she's CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. And we are always excited to have Barb on. And Barb, are you there? I don't see her.
Oh, no. Is she there? I know she had to turn her camera off because her internet was a little choppy.
Oh, well, you know, let me read a little more here. Indigenous Visioning is committed to supporting healthy and thriving tribal communities that protect tribal sovereignty and to ensure strong childhood care and early childhood systems and parent empowerment through a cultural lens. Culture promotes identity and belonging, and amen to that.
Yeah, I know Barb's been on a few times with Little Moments Count. Barb, can you hear us? Okay. Well, we're chatting on the sidelines, so I don't know what's going on. But Barb is a member of the White Earth Nation here in Minnesota. It's kind of a bit north of the Twin Cities here, as are most of our tribes. We cannot hear you, Barb. I'm not sure. Maybe check out your settings there. But I know Barb is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and the nonprofit All Nations Rise. And they have a really popular item in their toolkit, which they're expanding to other communities across Turtle Island. And that's the Indigibox.
Yeah. I love when we talk about that, Haley. I think adults need that, and that's some of us too that need a little brushing up on where we're from and who we are. Sometimes that's always exciting to hear from Barb.
Yeah, Little Moments Count. I know you can learn more at littlemomentscount.org. And I think we talk about a lot on the show, like our young ones being our next generation and the ones that we need to pass our knowledge down, pass our stories down to, so that we can continue to be here in our own sovereign way, in our own identities. And
Barb's going to try and log in and leave and log in. Haley, I want to just switch subjects, if you don't mind here. You sent me an article that I saw last night there was a person, or there was a group of kids on a field trip, and a white lady called the feds on them because she thought they were illegal immigrants.
Yeah, that was in Flagstaff, Arizona. I think this happened last Thursday, but I was just seeing about it today. And I actually saw about it on TikTok, of all places, right, where we see a lot of things. In Flagstaff, Arizona, there was a large group of tribal kids, I guess, just going on a field trip. And this, I'm going to say white lady because that's public information. And she called the feds on them and said that they were migrant immigrants coming in across the border. And they were actually, you know, native students are from here, believe it or not.
Right, exactly. Hey, there's Barb. Hey, how you doing, Barb? Oh, we can't hear you still.
No, we can see you this time. Maybe go to your audio settings and change that to your device there. You look great, though, Barb, as always.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, try and change your audio settings because we can't hear you. So back to that story, that's just, how much is this going to happen now that everyone feels like they, have issue with, brown people that they don't like? And, that's just a crazy, crazy situation.
Yeah. Well, I feel like more people are feeling like it's okay to be racist or just like not, I guess, calling in or doing actions that have very damaging repercussions on people. And if you don't know who someone is, you know, I wouldn't make a move like calling the police on them.
Yeah. Amazing. So how much is this going to be a thing now? Barb, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, and now we can hear you.
Yay.
Oh, can you? Great. Yes. Fabulous.
A good thing this isn't a live show. Oh, it is. Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute. It's okay. Yeah, bonjour.
We're pros.
Hey, good bonjour. To see you again. And we introduced you a couple times, so I'm going to just jump in. We only have a few minutes left in this segment, but I want to jump in and ask you a couple questions here because you come with a lot of knowledge, and you're like one of the best shows we have when we talk about Little Moments Count. We're really glad to see you again. But, you know, as a lifelong child advocate, can you share experience that have shaped your perspective on child care needs, you know, in particular for parents and grandparents in Indigenous communities?
Sure. You can hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So I think what changed my career was the brain development in learning about historical trauma and due to the boarding school. So that information, you know, I was in early childhood, but I understood the importance of, making sure the childcare classrooms are, you know, through a cultural lens whenever possible, to provide resources in there, provide training, historical trauma training to and brain development to parents and caregivers of children, no matter what setting they are. So that's kind of been my goal for many years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is advocacy important in addressing, you know, the needs of our little ones?
Well, You know, when children are in any kind of childcare, whether it's informal FFN, like you and your wife, you're FFN caregivers. And you know, it's really important because when a child is in childcare full time, they're with that parent or that childcare provider more waking hours than a parent. So, you know, how critical is that to your child? So you definitely want a childcare program that reflects, you know, you, your family, you know, your community, and even, you know, language, whenever we can incorporate that into childcare. Because those little ones, you know how they are with, you know, their brains just soak up all that language. And so introducing it from infancy on up, are even speaking to you while they're in the womb helps. So, you know, it's those missed opportunities that we're trying to help.
Well, Barb, we're going to take a quick break here. And Barb Fabre is CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. And we'll be right back after this short break.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Native Americans are more likely than white or Asian Americans to develop Alzheimer's or other dementias. Yet our Indigenous relatives remain significantly underrepresented in research. The Alzheimer's Association of Minnesota and North Dakota invites you to a special virtual event addressing dementia prevention and treatment for Native Americans. Join this Friday from 11:30 to 12:30 for a virtual presentation by Dr. William G. Manti as he explores disparities in dementia research and the unique challenges faced by Native American communities. Learn how partnering with tribal nations as essential decision makers can create better outcomes towards finally beating dementia. November is National Native American Heritage Month. This is a time to recognize the systemic barriers to dementia care, such as affordability, faced by 61% of Native Americans. With nearly 102,000 people living with Alzheimer's in Minnesota alone, the need for equitable research and care has never been greater. So join the effort to create a brighter future for our elders. That's a presentation about Alzheimer's and dementia impacting Indigenous Minnesotans this Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. Find the registration link at am950radio.com.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. They'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we have our friend Barb Fabre on as CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. Hey, welcome back, Barb. Really good to see you again. And it's crazy. It's taken me a while, like 36 years or so, to remember how these little brains work on these babies. And every week we see our little twins, Wendy watching them Wednesdays and Thursdays, it's like a whole different person. They're laughing and giggling at me, and I'm not even telling jokes.
Yeah, isn't it surprising? I always say that. I wish I knew what I do now when my children were that age. But, you know, our grandkids are benefiting from our knowledge and wisdom right now, right?
Right.
So, and we need to make sure that, you know, the people caring for our children are supported and to provide that best, the best care possible, you know, and to bring, you know, literacy and art and music and, you know, culture, language whenever we can. in the classroom or in a home setting like FFN care.
Right on. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And I got to pull out the Ho-Chunk dictionary and start really speaking to them. So do child care needs differ in Indigenous families compared to those in other communities?
I would say so. It's, you know, there's a child care crisis everywhere. But with, you know, our communities, the, you know, child care isn't as prominent in the non-tribal communities. There's more in those communities than there is in tribal communities. So the good thing is that tribes, I believe there's 264 tribal grantees of the Federal Child Care Development Block Grant, also known as Child Care Development Fund. And those funds go to states and tribes to help create child care systems and to support child care systems and provide access and affordability to child care for families. So, you know, we just need to, you know, keep working at it. It is growing. Child care is growing out in Indian country. You know, it's at a slow pace, but it's happening. And there's a lot of good things happening out there. And wow. Tribes have so much sovereignty, you know, and flexibility. Or through sovereignty, they have so many flexibilities with those fundings to make sure that there's a child care system there.
Wow. Well, what specific challenges do parents and grandparents face in accessing quality child care, you know, and how can they voice their concerns?
Yeah, well, great question. You know, there's a lot of things. For example, that federal funding I was just speaking about, mm-hmm. The states and tribes need to have public hearings, in, I believe, on an annual basis. And so, you know, they can go to those and, you know, listen to what the child care program is doing and get input from parents and community members. It's good if, you know, parents and grandparents, for example, guardians, you know, and tribal communities, there's a lot of grandparents caring for their their grandchildren, 365, you know, 365 days a year, days a year. Sorry. And so, you know, those parents are really struggling. And so it's just getting them resources and connecting them with local childcare service providers.
Yeah. Well, you know, many businesses. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Barb.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to add and help them navigate the online system. There's a mm-hmm. lot of resources online, but if, you know, they don't have a computer and they're not familiar with the computer, you know, they really need those supports.
Yeah, I agree. You know, many businesses don't realize how critical childcare is and is for employee retention too and recruitment.
Oh, huge, huge. You know, you can talk to any employer anywhere of any size, and they know about the child care crisis because they have employees, you know, calling in. They can't come in today, or their provider's sick, so or whatever the case. They hear those. That's something their HR offices know a lot about, because that's probably the most often, you know,
right,
concern. Yeah,
especially since COVID too, because a lot of people didn't go back right away, and part of it is, you know, am I breaking even on childcare and things like that? So that really makes sense,
right? And you know, childcare is, you know, a business, a small business. So, you know, we're seeing a little bit of an uptick of providers doing it out of their home and becoming their own business. We have, thanks to COVID and all the COVID dollars, there's more childcare centers going up around the country. Fond du Lac just opened a brand new one. Leech Lake did. White Earth. So, you know, those are positive things. And, you know, just sharing resources. And I encourage community members to reach out to their local childcare and see what's out there, see what's available and get involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, some parents and grandparents have created their own childcare situation. How can we help promote that and those kind of solutions in our community too?
Absolutely. You know, and there's that those federal dollars, those are provided to help, you know, anybody get into the childcare business are to help parents pay for childcare. They also funds quality to make sure, you know, training. So, you know, those funds are really critical to our communities. And that's, you know, I just encourage people to find, you know, if you're a tribal member, go to the tribe and ask, you know, who and what and go visit them. If you're a county, same thing. Who's providing childcare at the county level and develop that relationship? Whether you're a business person with staff or you're a parent or guardian looking for childcare and how to pay for it, or if you want to become licensed, lots of resources out there.
That's awesome. So, you know, a lot of people struggle because of the distance too of the childcare. Maybe it's the opposite way where their work is, or, you know, in the rural area, it's hundreds and hundreds of miles away at times. How can we support that and how can we advocate for that?
Well, it's, again, getting, if you're in a tribal community, talking to your tribal childcare program and your tribal leaders about, you know, the tribe doing their own tribal licensing of family child care providers, or, you know, licensing a center. So, you know, it's culturally relevant, it's monitored by the tribe, and it's likely local people. And so, you know, child care can be started up just about anywhere, as long as, you know, the home can meet licensing, which is not hard. It sounds you know, a little scary, but it really isn't. And the licensors, especially tribal ones that I know, really work with that child care, that person to help them get their home ready for child care. So it's not a just, you know, no, it's not good. They've got resources to help meet all the licensing requirements. So it's things like that, finding, you know, a building, having a co-op of child care providers sharing a building. I mean, there's so many different types of child care now because of the need.
Yeah. Is it fair to assume that when tribal organizations help people, they need to be on the res, so to speak? Or can they be urban Indians too? Or
Unfortunately, the way the Child Care Development Block Grant is for tribes, it says they can only go up to 35 miles off their reservation borderline. Mm-hmm. And it's not in statute. So this is a government ruling. And, you know, I think tribes should be allowed to help their members in down in an urban setting like Minneapolis. There's, you know, thousands, you know, 800,000 is the last time I heard, you know, count down there. And that was quite a few years ago. So, you know, and if a lot more, you know, and as far as I know down there, there's 5 tribal early childhood programs.
Yeah.
To serve all those 800,000, you know, tribal people living down there. So without those resources, you know, it's harder. It's harder. And so I think tribes should be allowed. And tribal leaders can talk to, you know, during tribal and state consultations or tribal and federal consultations, you know, talk to them about it and see why that's in there, because it's not in statute. So and then they too have public hearings on that federal law, so people can get involved. You can get National Congress American Indians, you know.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. For some Thanksgiving travelers in the Northeast, the weather is becoming an issue. CBS News New York meteorologist John Elliott.
National Weather Service offices throughout New England have issued winter weather advisories for winter driving conditions and snow removal.
AAA's Jenna Tidwell.
AAA is expecting record-setting travel volume this year for Thanksgiving by all modes of transportation.
Some good news for drivers. Gas prices have been dropping in many states. Several of President-elect Donald Trump's administration nominees have received threats. CBS News reporter Nicole Skank.
Police are investigating this slew of swatting incidents and bomb threats targeting Trump cabinet picks. In this case, there were police that showed up on some of the doorsteps of these officials. Representative Lee Zeldin saying that he received a threat of a pipe bomb at his home.
Trump's original pick for Attorney General Matt Gaetz and his choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also got pipe bomb threats. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback in the cold? Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami, so how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale coming up Thanksgiving weekend, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and happy 20th day of Native American Heritage Month. Welcome, Arvina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's always great to have you, and it's a Ho-Chunk day. We have three Ho-Chunks now on the show, and so what cannot go wrong? And it's just a beautiful day, even though it's snowing here in Minnesota.
It's snowing here, too, in Madison.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah. That's enough of the weather report there. Hey, so yesterday was Red Shawl Day. Did you do anything? Did you wear a red shawl? Did you go to any things going on?
I did not. We didn't have a lot of activities around here, so I didn't get to do anything. How about you?
No, and I don't know what happened to my red shawl. I don't know where it is, but no, not since the, what is the dance called when the switch dance? Not since I've had a switch dance if I had a red shawl, but. Yeah. So it's, well, Red Shawl Day is, you know, for Native American and Alaskan Native women who are missing and murdered and at the rate of more than 10 times the national average. And wearing red brings attention to the acts of violence committed against Indigenous people. And so we just wanted to bring that up anyways.
Yeah, an important day for visibility and for an issue that's important to all of us.
Well, how are you holding out? I hear it's earlier this week, it was your birthday.
Yes, it was. The big 4-5.
What?
No way. Yeah.
No way.
Yep. Sure yep, am.
Well, happy birthday. Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a great day watching the Packers beat the Bears last minute by 1 point with a blocked field goal. That was a nice birthday present.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw the score and I went, okay, the Bears are going to win. And then I hear like an hour later, that didn't even happen. And seeing all the Bear fans on social media, just saying things like we do here in Minnesota when it comes to like, oh, we're terrible and we're never going to win. And it sounded like a bunch of Minnesota whiners, but they were Chicago whiners.
Chicago whiners. Yeah. And they, I guess the last time that the Bears beat the Packers was in 2018. So it's been a while. Yeah, the joke on that I've seen on social media is that Aaron Rodgers passed his ownership of the Bears to Jordan Love. So now Jordan Love owns the Bears.
Wow, that's great. Hey, you know, today is Transgender Day of Remembrance, and today honors the memory of the transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of anti-transgender violence. And we just want to mention that. And I know in Madison, there's a big community. And of course, here in the Twin Cities, we just got to mention that.
Yeah, especially, you know, going into a new presidential administration that seems to be vastly different than the current one. And, you know, we need to stand with our trans siblings and make sure that the rights that we all have are rights that they are being afforded as well. Making sure that they can, you know, use the bathroom where they feel safest, where, you know, be able to change their names and the markers that they need and you know, be provided care. There's just so much at stake, and we need to make sure that we are looking out for our trans siblings.
Well, I feel personally rejuvenated now and ready to go, and I am going to be dropping Twitter or X, and I'm on this app called Blue Sky, and I saw somebody named Arvina Martin on there. I tried to friend.
Yeah, I made the switch over to Blue. Actually, I had had a Blue Sky account for a while, but didn't use it very much, or, you know, just to read things, not necessarily to post. And now I'm moving over there too. I feel icky using Twitter. I have not gone on in quite a while. So, you know, I it's time. I'm glad that people are moving to different platforms, and Blue Sky seems pretty cool so far. I also like Threads as well, for a similar kind of Twitter-esque feel. But yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff. And I got included on one of those native Blue Sky starter packs. And so my feed right now is almost entirely related to Indigenous issues, and it's really cool. And I'm really learning a lot, particularly learning a lot more about issues happening out in Hawaii as well as New Zealand. So,
yeah, well, I'll have to do the starter pack one step at a time for me. I didn't get to that point. I just I saw you and I said, I want to friend you. And so all the natives I see out there, I was friending. So I'm up to like 36, so I'm on my way.
Excellent, excellent.
Haley, are you on Blue Sky?
No, unfortunately. I've spent so much time kind of creating my own X or Twitter algorithm. Mine's still pretty funny. I don't use it. Like, I don't post on there, but It's probably the platform I use the least, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, a new time's coming, and, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about, like the cabinet appointments. I know we get a lot of good information from you, Arvina, about that. And it's been hard for me to look at, you know, the mass media now, because the weird stuff like, you know, the Morning Joe is having President Trump on there. And I'm just going, it's an upside down world even more.
Yeah, I was disappointed hearing about Joe and Mika from Morning Joe going to meet with Trump. That's wild. But, you know, I guess you never know what you're going to do in somebody else's shoes, I suppose. But yeah, these cabinet appointments have been pretty off the wall, and you know, you're seeing even conservative people be like, why Dr. Oz for like Medicaid and Medicare? You know, like, that's, it's just like somebody said, you can't get an appointment to the cabinet without having been on TV, because so many of his folks his appointments are people that have been on, say, Fox News or other similar channels.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's like almost like, the Democrats should almost vote these guys in and let it burn. My goodness. It's like, show it, you know, like Matt Gaetz, he went directly from law school and being a lawyer, never litigating on anything, right into politics. So how could he even be attorney general? Not to even mention about what he's got up against him with all this pedophile stuff with young girls.
Yeah, allegedly. Absolutely. And it's scary to think that we may not see what that report says. I believe the last I heard that the ethics committee is like deadlocked in terms of deciding whether to open or closed the report and evidence and such from the report. Which is scary and sad. And, you know, and Matt Gaetz is just awful. Mm-hmm. You know, we know this, and having somebody that has such a checkered ethical past in one of these positions, let alone as top cop for the country, is it's really, you know, it does the position a disservice, and it does all of us a disservice to have folks that are not competent. You know, it's wild. I go back to Dr. Oz, you know, he doesn't know anything. He pushes quackery and homeopathy and things that are not data driven. You know, yikes.
Well, how could one person destroy their family name too, or at least attempt to, with Bobby Kennedy Jr. now being the head of the HHCDA, or not H? That's Ho Chunk talk. I'm in the wrong job here, but help me out here.
It's like, when did that happen?
Yeah, right. And he's not even Ho Chunk. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh my God. But Bobby Kennedy, you know, being the head of medical decisions and, you know, being an anti-vaxxer, it's just strike one, and then also being a lunatic.
Absolutely. He's also, you know, I saw that he, you know, kind of made RFK Jr. kind of kiss the ring and such in that picture.
McDonald's picture?
Plane with McDonald's because he doesn't like fast food, and that you know is him acquiescing to Trump and Trump getting to yet again show his dominance over somebody, which is really sad for both both of them, you know.
And what a great name too. I grew up with the Kennedy name, other than the big Chappaquiddick thing with Ted, but Bobby and John were good for the country, and and then these also had some good nephews and that have run and have been in the Senate and the House too.
Yeah, and think about, you know, people nowadays, if you say what do you think of when you hear RFK instead of, you know, Attorney General or, you know, Kennedy brother, you get brainworms. You know,
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. We're talking a little bit about everything but these cabinet things, seats. We'll have to talk a little bit more about that. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Haley and Arvina. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center. Visit during free Thursday nights. Every week from 5 to 9 p.m., there's something new to explore. Enjoy date-friendly events like artist talks, performances, and exhibition openings, or explore art-making, open library hours, and exhibition tours.
Settle into your weekend among community. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, did I blow that, Haley, or what?
I think you forgot.
And let me just, I was reading our show notes here, and I got out of control here.
That's okay.
Phew. Hey, we're here with Irvina Martin and Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about cabinets. But I want to mention a quick thing before we get back into that, and that's we happen to have talking to the president of Stockbridge Muncie yesterday, and what a great leader she is. And it was great to have her on, and I haven't seen Shannon in a while, and it was really fun to catch up. But we have a lot of great tribal leaders, and thank goodness for that.
Yeah, Shannon has been a really effective leader in Stockbridge Muncie. I'm Stockbridge Muncie through my dad's side. And so, you know, she has done so much for the Stockbridge community, and is really a strong voice for her constituents. For the folks that she serves, you know, she gives her all. And it's really exciting to me to see such a dynamic young Native woman leader, in the rooms making decisions. I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Oh, so am I. And I didn't realize there was a couple things that it sounded like there's only a 2-year term. And she's been reelected 5 times. She's been president for 10 years, which blew my mind, those two things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're Ho-Chunk and your president changes every term, you know, we're not used to more of the same longevity. But, you know, I think that having someone in office that knows what they're doing and having that kind of continuity is really, really great and leads to so much, the longer that you are in that particular position, you know, the better you are at it. I mean, in theory. So, you know, there's plenty of people that coast, but, you'd think that they would be the most efficient and in terms of getting things done, working with other people, you know, all the qualities that you want to have in a leader, you know, they're able to hone during their time.
And it's a good time to have good leaders because we're going to be dealing with Project 2025 and be able to keep our sovereignty and stay on top of things and not fall asleep behind the wheel. So it's a red alert time for a lot of people, including tribal nations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking earlier at the potential nominee for the Department of Interior, and it looks like he wants to appoint Doug Burgum, who's the governor of North Dakota. And it sounds like we have, you know, there are like all of these like atrocious nominees, and it sounds like maybe this one might not be so bad. It sounds like since he, you know, is from North Dakota that he has familiarity with tribes and tribal sovereignty, and fingers crossed, you know, that he kind of keeps working that as opposed to whatever fresh hell is in Project 2025. I know I tried to look up things that would have to do with tribes. Mm-hmm. And there was like, we were not in there as far as I could see. I don't know if anybody else has tried to do the deep dive and see what
yeah
cobble something together, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I'll have to send you that. I got some pages and some paragraphs to send you. So it is red alert, but also too, when you talk about the Dakotas, I hear Kristi Noem's name mentioned, and she's been like exiled from 11 tribes she can't come on in her state. So, wow.
I mean, maybe we need to start using these tools that we have, like banishment. Maybe we need to start using them more often, because, you know, I could see her getting an interior nod as well. But if you're banned from all of the tribal communities that you already represent, you know, how you're going to make it 570, whatever, however many tribal right. communities there are in the United States, get banished from all of them.
So. Well, and close the borders, which is interesting. In Dakotas, they tried to, and I know some of our friends too down south were able to during COVID close the borders.
Oh, that's interesting. And you know, tribes having that kind of ability through their sovereignty to be able to enforce borders and such. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that relationship develops between the federal government and tribes, particularly for tribes that are near borders or on borders. Mm-hmm. You know, what anything that has to do with this guy, this next incoming guy, you know, I know that I can't I don't want to anticipate what he's going to do, because somehow he always ends up doing something worse than I anticipate. You know, so.
Well, we were able to statewide with our attorney generals, a lot of them block a lot of his bad legislation in round one. And hopefully, I know we're revved up here with our attorney general. Keith Ellison is talking about that openly. And I appreciate his candor in that they were able to stop quite a few things the first time around.
I mean, we need to be looking at all the tools in our collective toolbox, you know, and making sure that we're utilizing the judicial branch in terms of vetting these rules or these laws that they're attempting to pass, you know, so that we can really like weed out the ones that are the most dangerous and the ones that are going to do the most harm to so many people. And so absolutely judicial action, prosecuting, you know, suing, like that's another tool in that toolbox. And we should use all the tools that we can, because, you know, just the stakes are so high.
Well, and again, Haley and I earlier in the show were talking about, Haley, you want to bring that up, where we had some relatives, Native relatives, kids walking out there, and some people were calling the feds on them because they were illegal immigrants.
Yeah, I think I sent you that video, Arvina, the students on the field trip, the Native students in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah, I watched that. It's wild.
Yeah.
My jaw's on the ground.
Right. So, well, it's so, again, I need to get that baseball cap that I saw the first time around, and it was a blue hat, and it said, "Make racists afraid again." And yeah. They're going to have a good go to it here these next 4 years, and we need to be on top of it and vigilant.
Yeah. Can't go home if you're already from here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That happened to me one time during the Act 10 protests here. There was a conservative guy that told me to go back to where I came from. I'm like, sir, I'm Ho-Chunk. We're from here. Why don't you go back to where you came from? Which right on, I was really excited that my brain thought of it quick.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.